We open with hymn number 201. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. O Lord, the Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who didst through thy Son promise us thy Holy Spirit, that he should convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, we beseech thee, enlighten our hearts that we may confess our sins. Through faith in Christ, obtain everlasting righteousness. And in all our trials and temptations, retain this consolation, that Christ is Lord over the devil and death, and all things, and that he will graciously deliver us out of all our afflictions. and make us forever partakers of eternal salvation. Through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday after Easter, is found in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 15th verse. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him, "For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." Indeed, he says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of kings. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst. Neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of waters he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of James, the 16th through the 21st verse. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here ends the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 16th chapter of John, verses 5 through 15. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 195. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, the 8th through the 13th verse. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, as we come to the end of the days of Easter, we hear the words of our Savior telling his disciples how he must go away so that he might send the Holy Spirit to his church on earth to work in great power through the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. The disciples were sorrowful when they heard this, yet it was a sorrow that would soon go away, for it was to their advantage that Jesus go and send his Spirit. You are the proof of Jesus' words. Though we do not see Jesus before our eyes, he is present and he is active among us through his Spirit. His preaching and his work has gone out far beyond the borders of the little nation of Israel. Had it remained there, as our Old Testament lesson said, it would have been a small thing for Jesus to only have been the Savior of this little nation. But he is also the Savior of the Gentiles. And when he ascended to heaven and sent his Spirit, he caused his word to be spread to every corner of the world. Far more places than Jesus could ever have reached had he continued to limit himself to the flesh and blood of a man. Now, though no one can see the Lord, he is working in great power through his word. Now more than ever, he continues to convict sinners of sin. More than ever, he imputes his righteousness to all who believe on him. And he continues to judge his enemies. His word operates with his own power. As Jesus said in the gospel lesson, the servant, the Spirit will take what is his and show it unto us, because his Spirit is always there with his word. Therefore, even though Jesus has gone away, he is more present than ever before, working in great power among us. Because to this day, the preaching of God's word binds the devil. Therefore, it is little wonder that the devil tries to hide God's word by distracting us away toward other things, or by persecuting those who teach it, or by twisting the meaning of God's word, or by shifting its emphasis away from the gospel of Jesus Christ entirely toward an endless to-do list of meritorious works which deny Christ. And therefore, it is not enough just to have the word of God. We also must hear it not as the devil or our sinful flesh would have us understand it, but how it plainly speaks. But it is necessary that what it plainly speaks be spoken again and again in our ears. And therefore, in our text today, we are admonished to remember the heart of our faith, so that first and always, in our ears and upon our hearts, we hold fast the memory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of David, who was dead and has risen. Let the Lord Jesus be on your mind, not merely as a history lesson, but as your Savior. for this is the center of all the scriptures. And so the first word of our lesson, remember, is not a one-time admonition. It means remember continuously. That's literally the intent of that verb. Or as Luther translated this verse, keep in memory Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel. These words were written by Paul to Timothy, and they were instructions from an apostle to a pastor to guide him in doing the work of the ministry. Pastors tend to be persecuted above other men if they are faithful pastors. And Paul writes these words to encourage Timothy to persevere in the faith through all such troubles and to not forget how it is that he himself is saved. And these words are to guide not only his own personal life and faith, but also his preaching. Because the troubles that a pastor endures are the same in nature as all Christians endure. Everyone needs this admonition that Christ Jesus, crucified and risen, is not only the beginning of our faith, but is our faith whole and entire. We need that gospel every day to forgive our sins, to account us righteous, and to judge the devil, the world, and our flesh, and hold them back, as Jesus said in our gospel lesson, his Spirit would do through the preaching of his word. Take away Jesus from the hearts of the scriptures and our preaching, and these things no longer happen. And so even as this gospel is a word of personal encouragement and comfort to pastors and all Christians, it is also the very thing that we are all to preach. There is, after all, such a thing as Christian preaching. And I know it seems silly to have to say that, but it is important that we remember that the content of our preaching is not left up to us to decide. We can't decide, for instance, to preach on raising crops, or doing households, or doing housework, or running a successful business. Even though those are very useful topics in this life, because these things are not keeping in our memory Jesus Christ. To keep Jesus Christ in our minds is to remember his death and resurrection and all that this implies. To remember Jesus Christ is to hold in your thoughts that he is the seed of David, foretold by God, promised to every generation of Israel, born into the world as a king, before whom the kings of this age bow down, a king who even now and forever sits upon the throne, ruling all things, even though our eyes cannot see him. To remember Jesus Christ is to hold in your memory that he suffered and died, bearing your sins and the sins of the world, and appeasing the wrath of God. To remember Jesus Christ is to keep in your hearts the joy of his resurrection, that he took up his life, so that you can be certain that the Father in heaven has accepted the sacrifice of his Son, and that you also will take up your life, that you are now counted righteous and sinless for the sake of Jesus. And to remember Jesus is not just to know these as facts and to then lay them aside, but to keep them in your memory at all times, to hear his word and to go to church and to receive the Lord's Supper and to receive the body and blood of the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins and remembrance of his suffering and death for you. All of this Paul summarizes in this one word, gospel. He says that this truth, that Jesus Christ, seed of David, was raised from the dead, is the gospel. Therefore, if you, like so many people these days, are confused as to what the gospel is, look no further. Here it is. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you. Paul even calls it my gospel, because Jesus himself gave Paul that good news to preach to the world.
he knew nothing else among all those with whom he was in the world except this, that Jesus Christ was crucified. Timothy could also call it his own gospel. So can every pastor. But just as every preacher can claim this message as his own, so too can you and every Christian hold tightly to this gospel and say, this is mine. Even devils can remember things about Jesus. To keep Jesus Christ in your mind, to claim this good news is your own, and to believe that your own sins are forgiven and that you are already raised from death to life. It is your gospel and mine. For the death and resurrection of Jesus is indeed very good news for you and for me. There are many people who remember Jesus apart from his death and his resurrection, as if what follows his life in this world is but a series of unfortunate events, maybe ending in victory, but only to be forgotten, as if the cross and the empty grave are nothing but a green light at an intersection, telling you to move along now. You've experienced this in your own life. How easy it is to put Christ away into a box after you've left the divine service and treat the worship of Christ as merely a duty that you perform to please God. As if the Lord Jesus who redeemed you on Sunday is no longer needed on Sunday evening. Because of this, the sufferings that follow our faith are not just trials, but they are also blessings. So that the memory of our Lord Jesus Christ does not remain just a conversion experience or just something that we find on the mountaintop of Sunday morning, but something that remains a constant need every day of our lives. Without the death and resurrection of Jesus for us, our life in this world would be a rather miserable affair. For what hope will we have when, after we believe the gospel, we then endure what follows our faith, the sufferings and troubles of this world, if Jesus Christ is only the beginning and not constantly in our memories? Paul suffered many things for the sake of the gospel. He describes himself when he says that he was imprisoned and bound in chains as if he were a criminal, literally true as he wrote these words. It is always the case that when we are set free by the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, we find that our life in this world is not free. The firm and steadfast faith of Paul was well known, an example for all to follow, a heroic faith if there ever was one. But with such faithfulness came much suffering. He literally endured chains, whippings, shipwrecks, something he called a thorn in the flesh, a grievous bodily ailment that often brought him to tears. And Paul endured all these things not because he thought it was going to merit him a greater reward in heaven, but he says here, for the sake of the elect, so that they all might come to know the glory of God which is in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of their sins. He was glad to suffer because he knew that his suffering was brought on by preaching that gospel. And the gospel which he preached was not limited by the chains which bound his flesh. The word of God is never bound. It goes forth. It went beyond the borders of Israel, spreading like the sparks of a fire. It even created the preachers who proclaimed it wherever it went, and hearers who believed it by faith. And it continues to do so, calling men from darkness, forgiving their sins, and making them to be numbered among God's elect, among God's chosen ones. Like Paul's, our flesh is still in chains. Paul told the Philippian Christians in chapter 1, 29 and 30, to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Paul's suffering may have been greater in many respects than what some of his brethren endured, but it was not unique. It was the common lot of all Christians that are in the world. We must bear such sufferings as part of our life for we are under the cross of Christ. In our lives, as it was with the apostles, we mirror the life of Jesus. He endured the sufferings of the cross and died, even though he was without sin. And so we also endure the afflictions brought about by the devil, the world, and our flesh, even though we have been made righteous before God by faith. And when we die in this world, we likewise do not die alone. We already died with Christ when we were baptized, and we were raised again with him to new life. The life which God gave us in Christ Jesus does not end. It cannot end at the grave, because the grave had no power over our Lord Jesus. And when we are in him, it has no power over us. Therefore, let this sure hope give you the courage to endure every trouble for the sake of the gospel which you believe. Do not be discouraged that you suffer. Even the most faithful apostles endured the same, and much worse. They overcame, not because they were better men than you are, but because they kept in memory the Lord Jesus Christ. The crown of life, which is death and resurrection, had already won for them in heaven. God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. He will keep his promise. Even if men deny him and are faithless, God remains faithful to his promises. He cannot deny that Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins and rose again for our justification. He himself won our salvation. He himself calls us to repentance. And he gives to us the hope of eternal life. Let us then believe the promises of God which are in Jesus Christ. And let us keep him in our memories, that we might ever have the strength and courage to endure unto the end and reign with him in eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did send thy Son into the world, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many, and who didst raise him by thy glory when he had offered the one sacrifice for sins forever, grant us a sure faith in him, that we may possess the blessed hope of eternal life. We thank thee for the multitude of thy mercy, and pray that we may ever be mindful that every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from thee. Teach us that thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear thee, and that there is no variableness nor shadow of turning in all thy kindness and compassion. For thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank thee for the revelation of thy divine truth in Jesus Christ. Pour thy Spirit upon us through the engrafted word, that he may make known to us thy desire to redeem fallen mankind, and enlighten us with thy pure doctrines, that we might be justified by faith and sanctified by thy Spirit. We thank thee for the gift of thy church, the fellowship of all believers. Keep it in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Give it steadfast obedience to thy commandments. Preserve it in union with Jesus Christ, and continue it in conformity with the inspired teachings of the apostles. Shower thy blessing upon it everywhere. Protect it from all its enemies. Prosper it in all its labors. For the gift of the home, we give thanks to thee. Let thy Spirit dwell in each house, that love and tranquility, joy and consolation, strength and virtue may reign in undiminished glory. For the gift of our noble and pleasant land, accept our thanks, O God. Stretch forth thy holy arm to defend it inwardly and outwardly from all who would bring it shame and reproach by reason of sin, from all who would overthrow it by strife and rebellion, and from all who would assault and destroy it by war. Great art thou, O Lord, and great is thy goodness. Mighty art thou in all thy works, and glorious in thy salvation. Help us now and always to receive thy gifts with gratitude. Hear our prayers, grant us thy graces, and finally receive us into everlasting communion with thee and with thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We sing hymn 237.
We praise, we worship thee.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Away.
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Oh,
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 46. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you.